Bible today and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22. And hopefully when you leave here today, you'll be able to say it as well with my soul, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial or the test that is in your life, that you recognize that God has made us a promise and is always there to provide for us as his people. And so sometimes they're difficult and hard and tough, but God is able to work through all those things for his good and his honor and his glory and for his people to be found faithful in him. So let me read to you out of the book of Genesis. We've been in the book of Genesis for some time now, really looking at Abraham and some of the different things that he went through and how God called him and how he obeyed and how God's steady reaching out to Abraham, and Abraham still responds by faith. And so some great things for us to believe in and take home to our hearts to live by faith as Abram did. Here's what the Bible says, Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get to thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, my God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything in him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, a lamb or behind him, and a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for the promises that you have laid out for us. And Lord, just the provision that you have given us to perform those. And Lord, I pray that you would move us mightily this morning as we read this text, that we recognize that we're called to simply sacrifice everything unto you. And that, Lord, that you provided everything for us to be able to do that. Lord, I pray that you would move us and guide us and lead us to a place that we put you first in everything. Lord, I pray that you would be with me this morning in my distractions of my past, that you would hinder those and unhinder me, that I may speak with such boldness and clarity that all could understand and simply follow you. Lord, I'm so thankful for your promise that when your word is read, it'll not come back void. I ask all this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I heard about a kindergartner. She was drawing a picture there. And so the kindergarten teacher, kind of walking around the room, kind of looked at her. And boy, she was really into it. She said to the little girl, What are you drawing there? And she said, Well, I'm drawing a picture of God. She said, Oh, that's sweet, sweetie. But nobody really knows what God looks like. And she said, Hang on, in a few minutes they will. I kind of like that, because even though the Bible speaks about that in one sense, that no man has seen God at any time, the Bible says that in John chapter 1, verse 18, God does reveal himself by his actions and his perseverance and his patience and his commands. God reveals himself by his provision in our life so that we clearly see who God is and what God is all about. I want you to see this morning in this particular passage some things about Abraham and some things that he went through, and hopefully apply that to our life today, that when we go through the same things, when God asks us to do great and wonderful things, that we would be willing to say, Yes, Lord, you are first. I trust in you. So notice the first thing that we need to see. first Abraham's audit. Abraham's audit. When you read verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram," or Abraham. Now, we know that God does tempt Abraham, but you've got to remember the narrative of the whole story. God blesses first, then invites us to respond with obedience. God always starts out with blessings. He gives and then invites us to respond by being obedient to the calls and commands that He seeks from us. We always need to recognize that God is the initiator of every good thing. So let's look first at the timing of these things, after these things. And so here's a neat thought. God has tested Abraham over and over again. Remember his family test? He was living in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God called to Abraham and said, "Come out of there, leave your family, and come to a land I'll show you." And so God gave him a command, and Abram passed the family test. He passed that trial. He left and went to where God wanted to be at. Then he has a famine test. He's in that land, but now famine hits, and instead of passing the test and trusting in God, he goes down to Egypt for help. And lo, while he was in Egypt, he picked up a handmaid named Hagar for his wife, and we'll find that makes a big mess of things. He ends up now with Lot. He's going to come back to the land where he's called to, and now he has a fellowship test. We find that Lot and his herdsmen and Abraham and his herdsmen are at odds there. And so Abraham says to Lot, you choose the way you want to, and you part company, and it'll be at peace with us. And so he passes that test. And then there's the fortune test that God gave him. And so Abraham was blessed, and then he fights the battle with these kings and takes their possessions. And then the king of Sodom says, "You keep those." And so because Sodom was wicked, Abraham said, "No, thank you. I don't want your wealth." And so he passes that fortune test. As a matter of fact, what he does have, he gives a tithe to the king of Salem, which was God's representative there. He passes that with flying colors. And so you find test after test after test. He gets to the fatherhood test, where Abraham now has a son named Ishmael and a son named Isaac. And so the Ishmael has been told to be sent away, and so he does that. And now we're going to find that this last test, that God calls Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar. And so we'll see how that test pans out. What I'm trying to tell you is life is not just one big test. Life is not just one hard instance and then you're home free. Life is a series of tests all through your life, and those tests define who you really are. And so I want you to understand that life is not easy at times. There's things that we have to go through. There's times that we have to struggle. There's times that we have to simply stand up and be counted for. There are times in our test that we do wonderful. There's are times also that we just kind of blow them. I've had times in my life I have missed the boat. I have times when God brought me to a test and I failed miserably. I'm sure you have too. Here's what I don't want you to think. Well, we live in a time of grace, and just because I failed the test, everything's fine. Let me remind you, God wants the very best for us. He wants us to experience that abundant life that we find in John chapter 10, verse 10. And the only way to do that is live it by God's way and God's life. We should follow Him. So notice the test in verse 1 again. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram," or Abraham. Now that word tempt is nakah in the Hebrew there. It means to prove, to test. And so I want you to understand that this testing will look bad in one sense, but it's not. James chapter 1 in the New Testament says this, verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And so that James is saying that God doesn't tempt us with evil, but test us for good. So here's the difference. Temptations come from Satan to bring out the worst. Testings are from the Lord, designed to bring out the best. And so you can know in your tempting and your testing whether it's from God or not, because God desires the very best from us. And when we're tested by God, how good that is. Matter of fact, we have tests all the time. I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove," that's the word there, "your own selves." And so we're called to test, examine, make sure. Why? Because a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. Don't believe me? Who would get on an airplane like a 747 that was just assembled without testing? Not this old boy, amen? why we like things that are tested. And so our faith needs to be tested so it will grow and be strong. The test that God has for us is through trials and temptations many times that cause us to do something. These tests, one, humble us physically and emotionally. Matter of fact, Paul recognized a test in his life in 2 Corinthians. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you're going to find in your life, when you are tested by God, one, it brings a great sense of humility. It humbles us. We recognize we are not God when God tests us. We begin to examine ourselves. But secondly, not only does it humble us, but it helps us spiritually. James says this again in chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect worth, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And so we recognize that through the test, it grows us and strengthens us to be what God desires that we should be. God is testing Abraham to bring him to a point that he has to trust him and nothing else. So notice the test in verse 2. And he said, now take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. Now, you've got to break down the test in two main things. One, do you believe, Abraham, what I promised you? Do you believe what I promised you in the past? If you go back to chapter 17, he says, through Isaac, calls him by name. He said, through Isaac is going to be the covenant. Through Isaac is going to be the seed that I'm going to give you. Through your son Isaac. That was before Isaac was born. And then in chapter 21, he says basically the same thing. Through Isaac, your seed will be established. And so when this test comes, the thought is, will you believe the promise that I have given you that it's going to be okay, that I'm through this son of yours, Isaac, I will bring a great nation out that will be a great blessing to all the world? Do you believe that promise I have given you? That's one of the things that we must look at in our life. The test we go through, do you believe what God has promised to us? Secondly, part of the test is this. Is there anything more important than me? In the past, he's been willing to part with father, with fortunes, with this son named Ishmael. He's been willing to part with many things. But the question is, will you part with Isaac, your only son, whom you dearly love? And so just remember before we kind of dive into this, God gave him Isaac, and now he's wondering if he will give Isaac back. God always initiates blessings. God always initiates himself. God always gives first before he requires back. And so we must recognize, do we understand that every good gift comes from the Father above? And so the question is today, are we willing to put the Lord first? Is there any person or possession that hinders you from serving the Lord? It may be family or friends, or maybe fortune or fun things or fame or frills. But the Lord is asking, are we willing to put him first over everything and follow him? I know it's an extreme test, but notice what he asked. He didn't go to Abraham and said, because Abraham was a very rich man. If you read chapter 17, 18, he had wealth abounding. He didn't say, get rid of your wealth. But he saw the thing that may hinder him from honoring God completely. How about your son? Remember when Jesus walked on the seashore and he saw the fishermen? He didn't say, give this. He said the thing that would hinder them, and that was their fishing nets, their boats, and their father. They had to give that up and follow him. Remember the rich man in the other passage that loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him, and he said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. But the man went away grieved. Why? Because he had great riches. That one thing is the thing that Jesus knew would hinder him from following him. And so in this passage, we recognize God wants him to make sure that he understands that there can be nothing before him. Nothing before him. Now, you say that sounds kind of unreasonable. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, do what seems unreasonable, and expect what seems impossible. Then he gives some great examples. When you look at Joseph in prison, Moses at the Red Sea, or David in the cave when he could have slain slave Saul, or Jesus at Calvary. things that seemed unreasonable in our eyes, and yet we know those things did great things in the sight of many people. If we only had the faith to simply trust God. Abraham was tested. Abraham was looked into. Abraham's heart was seen. Abraham's exposing himself in one sense. And so that's what God does for us. Abraham's audit. But now notice the second thing, Abraham's allegiance in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And so the test is to see what Abraham considered important. The test will involve a call from God, a crisis that will stop him, a contemplation of why, and a courage to follow through. Notice his priority. Verse 3, he rose up early in the morning. There are so many people who say, well, I'll serve the Lord, but one day. I'll get right with God one day. I'll do these things for the Lord one day. Not Abraham. He rose up early in the morning. He got right to business. He got right doing those things. You see, when we have a priority, it's doing it right now, not later. True obedience is acting now, not later. Somebody was talking to a kid that joined the military, and they went to boot camp, and they finally graduated boot camp, and they got back to town. They said, well, what'd you learn in boot camp? He said, I learned what right now was. I'm telling you, we need to learn that same thing. When God calls, when God acts, when God moves, when God presses upon us, right now should be right now. I have been guilty so many times in my life, and I tell you why I've missed the boat so many times in my life is because of fear. I wonder how much fear Abraham had that morning. Can you imagine that voice from God that says, take your son and offer him for a burnt offering? And yet he rises up and moves forward. I keep thinking about today should be the day that we rise up. It is a day that we take a small step of faith toward the altar of God. That journey to that place started when Abraham got up and took that first step. And I'm telling you, God today desires that we get up, that we rise up, we take that step and be obedient to the call of God. Abraham surely did. And so he had a priority, but he also had a preparation. I think this is important. Notice again in verse 3, it says, and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering. If you jump to verse 6, in the middle of the verse says, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. Look what he does. He gathers the things necessary to serve God. The wood, the knife, the fire, the rope, Isaac. So many times we say, well, Lord, I'll serve you, but I don't have this, or it's not immediately available. He didn't make any excuses. He said, Lord, you said do this, and I will prepare myself to serve you. I wonder how often we prepare ourselves to honor God. I wonder, did we prepare ourselves this morning to enter into a time of worship? I wonder, have we prepared ourselves to be that salt and light to the world? I think so many times we think, well, if the Lord wants me to do it, he'll just make it all just work out. There are times when God has called us to take responsibility for the call of God, to don't make an excuses, to simply do his good will. Can I say this? Doing the will of God comes at a cost of time and effort and resources. Abraham recognizes this and gathers all these things up and proceeds to move forward. He was prepared to act on the will of God. But it doesn't stop with just his priorities, his preparations. But now notice his persistence. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes. I keep saying Abram, but it's Abraham. And saw the place afar off. Let me remind you what's going to take place there. He was called to give a burnt offering. It was a total offering. It was not just a little here, a little there, but a total offering. So think about the 3 days of soul searching, 3 days of dealing with internal disputes and consequences, 3 days of searching for answers. As he walks to that mount, all the things, I'm sure, just went round and round and round about, this is not what God wants. Yes, it is. This is not where God wants me. Yes, it is. And so I'm sure he had mixed emotions, but he kept pressing on. Can I tell you, some people start out good when it comes to the Lord. But it's the finish that really pleases God. I keep thinking about those seeds spread on the different grounds. Remember, some on good ground and some on rocky ground and some on the pavement and some on the weedy ground or the thorny ground. And on that thorny ground, guess what it says? It sprang up quickly but then died away. Why? It had no root. And so sometimes in our life, we start out on fire for God. Man, we're moving forward, and then something happens or some test comes, and we just kind of wilt where we are. Not Abraham. He is pressing forward. He is pressing in the right direction. I'm telling you, my friends, we need to recognize what God has called us to do. And so he gets to verse 5, and there's going to be a parting of company. And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and will worship and come again unto you." I've often thought why he left those men with the donkey. I often thought why simply leave them behind, why not bring them with them? But I think it's kind of evident as you look at this, he is putting away anything that may hinder him from doing God's will. I can just see him, if those two young men are there, as he pulls his knife out, those guys not understand God's will or the call from God to Abram may say, "What are you doing? You can't do that." Sound like good Baptist folks members, amen? "You can't do it. We've never done it that way before." Let me tell you, sometimes God operates in a realm that we've never done it like this before. But that's okay as long as we do it his way. And so he walks away from these guys. Sometimes in our life, we got to leave some people behind too. Sometimes in life, we got to walk away from things. Maybe walk away from a life filled with sin. I'm telling you, sin hinders our walk with God. Sometimes we got to walk away from a job that is pulling us down where we cannot do and serve God. Sometimes we got to walk away from a person that is trying to destroy things. It may be something, somebody outside your marriage, and you got to walk away from that thing before life really turns upside down, before it stops you from being and doing God's will. Walk away from, but at the same time, walk to a place. That is so much like repentance. God always calls us to repent. And repentance is not just simply quit doing something. Repentance is not just stopping something. Repentance is stopping and going in a different direction. And so he walks away from those guys and walks to the place that God has called us to. It is a place of hardship, yes, but it will be a place of happiness and joy when the end is spoken. How could he do that? Well, notice his possibilities in verse 5. And Abraham said to the young man, "Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder." Notice this. "And come again to you." Again, I've got to tell you about this burnt offering. Offering of my child, it was not just a token offering, not just some bloodletting, but it was something that was complete. Years later, Moses wrote about this burnt offering. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, speaking about the burnt offering of a lamb, but it's the same picture. "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering and shall be accepted for him to make atonement. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priest. Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron shall, the priest shall put fire upon the altar, and they shall lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood, upon the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor to the Lord." So this offering was not just, "Well, I'm just going to maybe let a little blood on the altar." It was to kill a son, cut him in parts, lay him on the altar, put wood on there, and burn the whole body to the Lord. You think about that, and it's like mind-blowing. How could he do that? But in this passage, for the first time, you see a glimmer of hope. You see his possibilities included a faith in God that he knew promised him beforehand that this one would live and bear children. He's only a teenager. Well, we really don't know how old he is. But he had a possibility that God could do something. The New Testament kind of defines this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him a figure. Abraham did not fully understand the call of God. He just knew that God told him to do this, and he believed the promise that whatever happened, God was able. I'm telling you, in our life, we've got to get to a point to recognize that we don't understand it all, but we can understand and obey God's call. Just be faithful. So let me move to the third point. It goes from Abraham's audit to Abraham's allegiance to Abraham's acknowledgement. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon his son, Isaac, his son, verse 6. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went them together. Verse 7 said, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I think about that picture, and really, you notice that burden that is placed on Isaac. He is a picture of Christ. The wood laid on his back, I think about the picture of the cross on Christ's back. There's one that was going to be sacrificed, the only begotten one, one that is a picture of faith and perseverance. It's also a picture of us. To get rid of our burdens, we've got to place our wood on the altar, our burden on the altar, our life on the altar. So the question is, where is the lamb? I bet, it doesn't say this, but Abraham was an altar builder. If you read his story, everywhere he goes, he builds an altar, and probably used that altar many times. And this little boy, Isaac, had seen Abraham, his father, worship time and time again. I'm sure he'd seen the wood and the knife and the fire and the lamb time and time again. And so as any young boy would say, well, hey, I see the wood and I see the fire and I see this, but I don't see the lamb. Where is the lamb? I'm telling you today, we need to recognize in our life, where is that lamb? But Abraham says God will provide. And I want you to see, if you read the next verse, and it says, and it came to the place where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You've got to see the faithfulness of this young boy named Isaac, willing to be bound. You say, well, how do you know that? All I know is he's old enough, one, to carry a burden of wood. He's old enough to understand and see this idea about asking where the lamb is, and he recognizes this. He's probably a young teenager, I would think, and Abraham is at least 100 and teenage, because he was 100 when he had Isaac. I don't know about you, but I believe I could outrun a 100-year-old man, amen? And when he started pulling a knife in the fire and no lamb, I'm telling you, I may have headed in a different direction. But Isaac is as faithful as his father, and is willing to be bound and willing to be put on the altar. You say, well, why do you have to be bound for? Well, I'm telling you, when the fire starts coming, sometimes we want to crawl off the altar. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, he says, I beseech you, or chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. As Isaac was on the altar, so are we in one sense. And when the fire gets hot many times, we want to be unfaithful and crawl off. And so we need to be bound by a godly conviction and a godly desire. He's bound with cords and put on there. But notice the last thing in this sermon. Because sooner or later, everything you trust in is going to fail. Everything that you've placed your hope in is going to fail, except for one, which is the Lord God Almighty. And so notice the last part of this sermon. Abraham's audit, his allegiance, his acknowledgement, but lastly, Abraham's award, or reward, you may say. So it starts with this procedure. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. In his heart, he has committed this act on Isaac at that point. Verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. In the same moment Abraham raised the knife, God raises his voice. Stop. You say, well, have you changed your mind? God never wanted Isaac. He wanted Abraham. God doesn't want your possessions or your family or these other things. He wants you. And until you're willing to get there, life will be miserable trying to serve God. He doesn't want your blank. You fill that out. He wants your heart. The thing that was most precious to Abraham, Isaac, he was willing to give back to the Lord. He is a man that is sold out for doing the will of God. I'm just going to be blunt just for a few minutes. I hear people today claim they are sold out for God Almighty regularly, but they don't go to church. You know what they're saying? Because that's my day, Lord, not yours. I hear people say, well, I'm a sold out believer, but I don't give. You know what they're saying? It is my money, Lord, not yours. I hear people say, well, I don't go and I don't serve. They're saying it is my time, my energy, my effort, Lord, not yours. I wonder this morning what you have withheld from God. I wonder, have you soul searched, examined yourself, tested yourself to see what God has given and see if you're willing to truly give it back? Please remember, God always gives to begin with, and we just simply respond to how God gives in obedience. It doesn't stop there. He told him to stop in verse 13. There's a provision of a sacrifice. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In the right moment, lo and behold, he hears the voice of God. And I'm sure as he hears behind him, he looks there and there's the ram that God provides. Abraham's happy. Isaac's happy, but the ram is not. Amen. But God provides like that, that he may do great things. Look what he said in verse 14. And Abraham called up the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. Your translation may say that God provides it, and that is true. But in the original language, it is Yahweh Jireh. The Lord is seen. The Lord appears. You know what he's saying? God showed up and made good on his promise. God showed up and provided the greatest gift of all. And I tell you, my friends, if you'll just trust God today and recognize his goodness and recognize his blessing, you'll have no problem like Abraham sacrificing everything to follow King Jesus. I wonder today what God's calling you to do. Let me close with a story. Because if you look past this, I didn't read these verses in verses 16 through 18. He says, in the end of verse 18, he says, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And he lists a bunch of blessings there. Because thou hast obeyed. And so I want you to think about your life and obeying the Lord. Ira Yates was a man that lived in Texas many, many years ago. Owned a lot of land, but had a lot of debt, as many did other Texans as they owned those large farms. He was living from day to day, could barely pay the interest on his loans. At any moment, he thought, well, I'm just going to default and lose all this that I've worked so hard to gain. Well, matter of fact, living on government subsidies at times just could not hardly make ends meet. Lo and behold, there's a seismographic team came and looked at his land and said, you know, there's a possibility there may be some oil on your property. You mind if we drill? He signed a lease. They started drilling, and 1,115 feet, they struck oil. 85,000 barrels a day, this gusher would be. They did another one, 125,000 barrels. Matter of fact, 30 years later, some of those wells are still producing at that same rate. Here was Ira Yates living in poverty, but a multimillionaire. Because he just did not know what was below him. I see a lot of believers today living in spiritual poverty, because they just don't tap into God by saying, Lord, I am yours. Whatever you want, I will obey. Whatever you say, I will do. I want you to understand that when you'll follow God, when you'll trust Him, when you allow Him to lead you, man, He blesses. I'm not preaching health and wealth here. I'm just preaching the truth that God desires for us to be spiritually blessed in Him. God's got a plan for you that will just blow your mind if you'll follow Him. I wonder today, will you trust the Lord like never before? Will you trust the Lord like Abraham did? You'll be amazed at what God does for you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. Bow your head. Think about your life just for a moment. In God's eyes, obedience is everything. In God's eyes, it is faith that moves us to do what's right. You can trust two things, one on God's promise and two on His provision. Without any fail, God's promises always come true, and God's provisions never fail us. Maybe you're here today and you've never tapped into that. You've never accepted the promise of Christ Jesus that will save your soul for all eternity. You've never said yes to Him. It may be because you're worried about provision. You're worried about what you may have to give up. I'm telling my friends, if you'll get past that, if you'll simply trust Him, He'll work those things out. The Bible says He's come to give you an abundant life. It may not be in riches or wealth like you think, but there's a peace that passes all understanding that not a dollar could buy. There's that spiritual maturity that is worth all those other things. If you're here today and need Christ Jesus, why not come? Why not confess your sins? Why not simply call on Jesus and He'll save you from right where you're at? Why not make it public by walking that aisle this morning? For others of you, you need to take a step of faith, maybe join the church this morning. For others of you, you need a step of faith at this altar and pray. For others of you, you need to reach out to some people to make things, some things right. Whatever it is, don't miss the call of God. Don't miss being obedient to what God desires for you. Father, we come before You to say thank You for all that You do for us. Thank You for the provisions You've always given us. Help us to tap in by obedience to be faithful to You. Bless the invitation time. Bless Your people. Bless this church, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.